Happy Tuesday to you, cold one. Glad to have you. Tons to get to today here on a Tuesday. I guess the first, the story that is just, we didn't really spend a lot of time talking about this, Jamie, but the fires out in California have been affecting more and more. And I think I saw this morning that because of the jet stream and the size of this, that you can smell the smoke from California here.
Has anybody smelled it? If you have 22980, if you've noticed it, because I saw pictures yesterday that showed that you might notice it here. I haven't, but if you have, feel free to let us know that you have. Keep in mind there are two fires burning in California. There's one in Butte County in Northern California. That's the other one that you've seen a lot of the pictures out of because it's destroyed celebrities' homes and that kind of thing down toward Malibu and down toward Los Angeles. So there's two. I thought I heard 44 deaths, but 42 is the number I keep seeing this morning.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, the size of this thing. And if the fact that it is that big and these two fires combined are producing enough smoke and we're smelling it here, or we're getting, pieces of the smoke, bits of the smoke part, that is unbelievable, the size of this. And to just see how devastating this is. And what I see a lot on social media is this, that, the fires are now affecting Malibu and Calabasas and all these rich parts, where a lot of the mansions are. And you mentioned celebrities, Lady Gaga, Gerard Butler. There are all these different celebrities that have to flee their homes. The Kardashians have to flee their homes. They had to go pack up and get out. And a lot of people said, I don't care, because they're rich and they'll be fine. Okay, that's fine. These are still people, and this is still their houses with their, their lives. And are they going to be, if their house burns down, if Kim Kardashian's house burns down, does she have the financial wherewithal to be able to rebuild a lot easier than somebody who's not a celebrity like that? Absolutely. But to see the images of the smoke and the fire coming down through the hills and affecting these houses, these homes, these people, these families, it's crazy to look at.
Again, let me point out, for those that want to be discompassionate about, there are two fires burning. There's the one burning in Southern California, and there's the campfire that is burning in Northern California. The collective death toll in California stands at 44. The Woolsey Fire, that's the one that's burning in Ventura and Los Angeles counties. That's been blamed for two fatalities. That's the one that's burning celebrities' homes. The campfire is the one that's north of Sacramento, and that's where 6,000 homes have been destroyed, and the other 42 fatalities have been. That's where Paradise is. That's the town that's basically been burned to the ground up in that area. I'm going to read you a couple of lines out of USA Today. Authorities had 13 coroner search teams combing through rubble for the victims of the campfire.
Wow.
More teams, two portable morgue units from the military, and cadaver dogs were expected to arrive today to help with the search. Because they have got, there are 100 people still missing. There are hundreds of people that they still can't find. A lot of people died in their cars trying to get away. A lot of people quite literally burned up in their vehicles as they were trying to get away. So this is not, that seems to be the fire that's getting some of the attention because of celebrities speaking out about it. But the big one and the deadliest one in California's history is the one in Northern California.
Wow. Okay. So it's the Woolsey Fire and the Camp Fire are the two fires that are burning right now.
Yes.
That's the names of the two. Okay. Yep. If you've seen the videos, you've seen the pictures, it's, these people trying to escape, it's literally a wall of fire. They're trying to drive down a road with walls of fire on either side, straight out of a movie. Do whatever you can. There's a million different ways to help. You can always donate to the Red Cross. They're always trying to do what they can. And we were talking about how people here can relate to something like this. And we'd like to know from you at 576-7798 if you've ever had a total loss like this, if you've ever had your house either burned down or more likely weather-wise, a tornado. Did you live in Joplin? Did you live where some of these monster storms have taken away? And how did you rebuild? How did you get through it? And hopefully you had insurance, to pay for it. 576-7798, because there's a story that's attached to this we're going to get to a little bit later on, is do you rebuild in L.A. knowing, or anywhere in California, knowing that these storms happen, or these fires seemingly happen every year?
But not like this. They don't happen every year like this. And some people have said that. Well, you don't have sympathy for people that choose to live in a place that is prone to wildfires. And I would say to you, you live in a place that is prone to tornadoes.
Absolutely.
And yet you choose to live here. There are people in Oklahoma, places like Moore, that get hit, you know, multiple times by tornadoes and choose to rebuild. There are people that lived in Joplin who lost homes, who chose to rebuild. You know, we live in a part of the country that is prone to tornadoes. There are parts of the country that are prone to hurricanes. People chose to rebuild in New Orleans. But, yeah, there's a question about whether you should be, you know, we should even have homes that you're allowed to rebuild in areas where they could be destroyed again.
It's crazy to think. I mean, if you live in a place and in 10 years you've seen two monster wildfires come up, and you're like, I'm going to keep rebuilding because I want those redwoods in the background, in the backyard. I want to be able to look out and see it. And the views are gorgeous. Have you ever been to Northern California, Napa, Sonoma, that part of the country, or that part of the state of California? It is beautiful. Crazy expensive, absolutely. And the people that can afford to have those unbelievable views in their backyard, you're like, all right, well, I really want, you chance it. You absolutely chance it. And, you know, the question is, do you rebuild? If you've ever had to rebuild, 576-7798. Would love to hear your story. Phil, you're first up this hour here on KMBZ. Hi, Phil.
Hey, hi. Say a few things about these fires. Number one, it appears that we've lost our ability to, in any way, shape, or form, to quickly control and contain these fires. This is becoming a new norm. Number two, because of that, the government needs to set up something akin to a military base, maybe out in California or somewhere in the West, where resources, manpower, and equipment can be rapidly deployed to these fires. You need to have like a main base for all this out there where everything goes when you get such fires. And the third thing is that the day is coming when a major U.S. city in California or somewhere out there is going to burn. L.A., it almost happened in Oakland back in the 90s. But this is quite a serious thing out there. These fires are getting worse with time. And like I say, this thing is going to continue. So we need to take proactive steps to deal with it. But these fires are just, you can throw all the manpower resources at it. You're not going to stop these fires. And if you don't get them initially, they're going to take off, and this is the result.
Phil, let me ask you a question. Are you a former fireman?
Yes, I was on Kansas City, Missouri Fire 27 years.
Unbelievable. Thank you very much for that. Your first statement was, we have to get these as soon as they start, or they're going to expand like this, or something to that effect. How come we're not doing a good job of that? Do we not have the resources to contain these on the onset?
Well, there's resources out there, don't get me wrong, but they've had an extreme drought. We had fires out there in the spring and summer that were large and huge last year, too. This is an ongoing thing. This is why we need some kind of large depot with an airport runway and all that where manpower and equipment can be rapidly deployed besides the local firefighting units. I mean, this is amazing. Like I say, the day is coming when a city like Los Angeles is going to burn.
Let me ask you another question. Correct me if I'm wrong, and I can look it up during the break, but I believe California has just come out of a couple of years of some of the worst drought they've ever seen. So it would make sense to me that one way to try to control wildfires or prevent them is to try to prevent droughts, to somehow address drought conditions so that we don't have all this very dried out, you know, hundreds and hundreds of miles of timber out there. So is there a way to be more proactive about it?
Well, you can't change upper level weather patterns, which is what dictates drought and periods where if the rainy season comes to California, you're going to have widespread flooding and mudslides from all this denuded land caused by the fires. So that's another concern down the road. But
gotcha.
Like I say, this simply is something that's not going to go away, and we need to be proactive, the country does, in dealing with this.
Are you hinting at climate change, Phil?
I think it's. I seriously think it's involved in it. Yes. Yeah, I seriously do. We're seeing the fires. We're seeing more intense hurricanes across the whole planet. If you look at the every month, they're coming out with a projection of the whole world, and everything is practically red as far as the temperatures go. So yeah, I do think there's a direct correlation with the fires out there with climatic change.
Right. Phil, thank you for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. Have yourself a great day. The Globe. This is from our friends over at NPR. Let's see here. The global average temperature is more than 1 degree Fahrenheit higher than it used to be before the Industrial Revolution. And in a dry climate, more heat equals more drying, meaning the hot, dry air literally sucks the moisture out of the ground and out of the vegetation. A fire ecologist at the University of Colorado named Jennifer Bach says it doesn't take much. With a little bit of drying, you get substantial increase in the amount of burning. I totally believe that. I 100% believe that global warming has something to do with it. You hear something behind you?
I'm seeing things.
The snow is falling
okay.
from the roof.
I'm seeing the reflection in the window on the other side of you, and I didn't know what was happening.
I'm watching the snow fall as it melts in the sunlight off the roof. We're on the top floor, and it just went flying by in both windows. Yeah. Your world's not coming to an end, Jamie. Don't worry.
I didn't think it was. I just didn't know what the... I didn't... There are a lot of windows in this room. And I didn't know what was happening. So I'm just looking at the location of this campfire because people are talking about, just where these fires are. And so this is through Waze where I Googled this. And so this is how far north of Sacramento are we talking? Probably, I don't know, an hour north of Sacramento maybe. Okay. And then there's an area that gets you up to, there's no major point of, there's just a lot of forest land there. I mean, it's basically, you know, east of I-5, if you know the state of California and you know that I-5 runs right through the middle of it. And I-5 connects Redding and Sacramento, and it's off to the east of that. It's just big, empty forest land out there. There's just a lot of fuel that can burn. And again, the state's been in a drought for a couple of years. And I think, you know, he was right. I think it's going to have to burn. You know, it's going to have to burn a city of consequence before we seriously start to pay attention.
And it's gigantic. Like it, like you said, it is, you know, one of the biggest, if not the biggest we've seen. I mean, it's like three times the size of San Francisco.
Yeah.
So if this thing were ever to shift south and get to that part of the bay, Oakland, as he mentioned in the 90s, suffered a big, you know, there's a big fire there and it nearly took out Oakland. Could do the same thing to San Francisco.
So the other one that's down south that's in... It's still got a little ways to go before it were to stretch to Los Angeles. Although, for those that are familiar with the area, you've got it running right now from Malibu all the way up to Thousand Oaks and all the way up into inland quite a bit to, what state park is that? Point Mugu State Park, yeah. There's still a lot of, you're in an area there along the coast that is a lot of forest land there down by Los Angeles. But if you get too much further south, then you're getting into Santa Monica. Then you've got LAX, frankly, as you keep going south. And then if you were to go inland, you get to LA.
Wow.
So we've got audio that we can play. We're late for this break, but there's audio we can play after the break.
We've got some new news, some new numbers. We'll hear from Alex Stone coming up from ABC. It's Midday with Jamie and Wicket. And if you want to jump in and talk about the destruction you've had to deal with, if you've had a bad flood, a tornado, maybe you lived in an area where your house burned down, we'd love to know how you rebuild. Obviously, this is something that is affecting a whole bunch of people out in California. Would love to hear from you here in Kansas City. 576-7798, 576-7798. You can also text in at 22980. Talking about the California fires right now. If you haven't had a chance, we've got some new numbers. If you haven't heard these, this is from ABC's Alex Stone.
New numbers in from Fire Command. The campfire in Northern California is now at 125,000 acres with 30% containment. The Woolsey Fire here in L.A. County is at 96,000 acres with 35% containment. 44 people are confirmed dead statewide.
So 44 dead, over 200,000 acres of fire between the two of them. And it doesn't sound like it's going anywhere.
The Santa Ana winds were forecasted to end last night, but now it's expected they'll be blowing through at least Thursday night. Red flag fire warnings have been extended now through Wednesday night and possibly longer.
Man, just, I mean, and the weather is just not helping in any way out there. ABC's Gio Benitez.
We were reporting on the highway and we were witnessing this incredible firefighting effort that was going on because a new fire had sparked. It was called the Peak Fire, and there was a real concern that that fire could not only get to these homes that were underneath this highway, but could actually merge with the other fire that had already been fought. And so firefighters wanted to contain that right away. So we were standing there on the highway as one of those helicopters came by and started dropping the water. What we didn't realize is that it was dropping it right on top of us.
Can you imagine that? You have the Woolsey fire and the Camp fire, and then all of a sudden something else, you know, pops up. Like, what are the firefighters thinking at that moment?
I'll tell you, this map is fascinating to look at because I think it's through Waze, but it's google.org, to see where all the fires are.
Wow.
And then you can zoom in on them and see exactly what the perimeters are and what all these details are that they're talking about. It's really interesting to see where they're all kind of burning.
And we're talking about land being burned and homes being burned. Don't forget, for those that are actually safe from the fires as of right now, there is still a worry, Gio Benitez says, about the air quality in California.
Right now, it's very hard to breathe because you have this air quality here that's such a danger because you're talking about so much land, so many structures that have burned up. And so we have to be wearing masks as we're walking around here because you're just coughing up a storm if you're walking around here without a mask.
And they were, Travis had told me this. Was this yesterday, Travis, or was this Sunday during the Raiders game or the Rams game? The masks.
Oh, that was last night.
Last night,
San Francisco 49ers versus the New York Giants. Beginning of the game when they're doing the national anthem, the camera was kind of panning around, and I think it was Jason Witten talking that the 49ers actually passed out a mask for the fans. So like smoke mask for the fans to basically sit during the game.
Man, I've gone to a lot of football games and baseball games and basketball games where you get something. Like, I've, you know, bobblehead night, t-shirt night, whatever. I've never gone to air mask night where, I mean, these are ones you can buy 2 for $5 or whatever at Home Depot or Lowe's. I bought these when I was painting something for our new place. But the fact that you actually are given those when you walk in, like, wouldn't you not go to the game if the thought was you have to sit outside in potentially dangerous air for 3 hours?
And they canceled, you know, with it being Veterans Weekend, they canceled a flyover, they canceled fireworks, and they had to bring in extra oxygen tanks for the players, not just, you know, because they're tired, but to try to get some of the smoke. If they inhaled some, you know, while running around,
yeah,
try to get some of that out of their system.
I mean, wouldn't you just say, hey, let's cancel this game or let's move it or whatever? I know there's a lot of money involved and tickets are sold and advertising and dollars and whatnot, but it was the Giants and Niners. Neither team's doing anything. Like,
and
they're not going,
you know,
anywhere.
You talk about being moved. The Chargers and Raiders, who played on Sunday, I think the 3:25 game, they were almost going to move to Dallas. They found out at 12 o'clock that there was a chance that they were going to move to Dallas.
I mean, I don't know what you do. I mean, Jamie, I'm reading here, the Bay Area Air Quality Management District said that the air hovered between unhealthy and very unhealthy for the entire weekend. Like, why would you play football games in that?
But I got to be honest with you. I don't know. I've never had asthma and I've never had like breathing troubles to know what that feels like.
Me neither.
You know, I wouldn't know the difference between that and what normal air quality feels like to know, like, does the average person notice that? Or is that only people with, you know, asthma and breathing difficulties?
I can't imagine playing a football game in that weather. Like, even if you, it just to, because you have to breathe a lot if you're playing a football game. Midday with Jamie and Wicket. Still to come, we are going to mention the idea of killing the DUI, which numbers would indicate it's doing well, but are they really, are ride-sharing programs really doing it? We'll get to that, but I did want to play this unbelievable audio. We've talked a lot about the fires devastating in California right now, and this is a guy by the name of Joe Allen, and he's a regular guy. He and his wife and his two kids they had to evacuate. The fires were burning, getting close to their house. And if you want to see this video, it's up on our Facebook page. It's from CNN. And at the end, you hear him talking with one of the anchors. And the video is just incredible. I mean, it looks like he's driving at night and on either side of the road. I mean, Jamie, you probably see the video. It looks like a movie set.
Yeah. So you're going to hear what he is saying as he is driving with his daughter in the car as he's driving.
It's going to get happened. Forest fires.
Hey, guess what? We're not going to catch on fire, okay? We're going to stay away from it. And we'll be just fine. Okay?
Okay.
We're doing all right. Baby, it'll be all right. We're going to get out, okay? We're going to leave.
But we're going to get fire.
No, we're going to get out of here. And we'll come back when it's more Princess Poppy, okay?
Princess Poppy doesn't want to see the fire.
I'm going to stay away from it, okay? Yeah. Yep.
Oh, that fire.
What the f***? Look, we're past it. We're out of it, okay?
Yay.
Yay. We did it together.
You know, it's kind of our thing to just have conversations every morning when we go to preschool. And, of course, she loves her baby shark song. So we had
going to I know that one. I have an almost three-year-old as well.
Yeah. And so, you know, we just kind of found a happy spot and had a normal conversation about what was going on and just kept moving forward.
When you listen to that story, or you listen to that video, and at the end, it just touches, it just grabs at your heart, because again, I know people are focusing on Lady Gaga and the Kardashians and whatnot, but there's real people that are being affected by these fires that aren't just celebrities in the Los Angeles area. Yeah. It's the northern half, like you're talking about.
Get that out of your head. If you don't care about these fires because you think it's just celebrities, get that out of your head. Out of the 44 deaths that we've had out of these fires, only two were in the Los Angeles area. The other 42 were in Northern California that have nothing to do with celebrities. It's guys like this.
Yeah. And amazing for him to be able to stay so calm. It's crazy that he was able to stay so calm.
Somebody's asking if the video's up on Facebook?
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
So they can go check it out?
Yeah, you can watch it. And when you watch the video, I mean, it's a wall of fire on the right and a wall of fire on the left. And I assume that it's his wife that is the one doing the filming, because it really does look like a movie scene of death and destruction, and they're trying to escape. Like you figure The Rock would come out at some point.
By the way, you were asking off the air this morning how these fires get their names.
I've always, where did Woolsey or Camp come from?
So KSDK. This has got to be out of California. No, this is out of St. Louis. Did the story. They were getting asked that question also, and so I'll tell you what they had to say. Why is it called the campfire? Here's how wildfires actually get their names. And so most of the time, dispatchers designate a name for the fire as they send the first resources to the wildfire. Engines and fire officials that arrive to the scene also have the ability to give the fire its name. So fires are often named, I guessed this correctly, fires are often named after the area where they start. So they usually use a geographical location, like a street, a lake, a mountain, or a peak to name the fire, because then it's also additional information for fire crews so they know exactly where they're going. The campfire in Butte County followed a trend from earlier years, having started on Camp Creek Road. So that's how that became the campfire.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it makes complete sense.
Yeah.
I always wondered if there was any particular reason why. And by the way, if you want to help those that are affected by the California fires, you definitely can. I'll put this up on Twitter. There's a whole bunch. I mean, if you Google it, you can find it. But if you're too lazy to Google it, you follow us on Twitter, understandable. The New York Times put together a great list. And you can research. There's nonprofits, the Red Cross, the California Fire Foundation, the California Community Foundation Wildfire Relief Fund, rolls off the tongue. Caring Choices, the Enloe Medical Center. I mean, there's a ton of different places that need your help. And if you'd like to help out, you can. Families are losing family members. Families are losing their houses. Yeah, celebrities are, but real people like you are struggling with this as well. And they need your help. And if you want to help, I'll put it up on Twitter. Follow us at KMBZ Radio.
All right. So if there are any updates on that, we'll bring that to you as we get through the show here. And we'll come back to this a little bit later. But again, out of KSDK out of St. Louis, there was a story that we had seen. And it's a question that we've talked about this before about whether ride hailing services like Uber and Lyft are leading to a drop in DUIs. So the story starts. You can take them to the airport to sporting events and hopefully when you're going to be drinking. Ride-hailing services available on your phone like Uber and Lyft have transformed the way we all get around. But are they also saving lives? So according to the CDC, 29 people in the U.S. die every day in crashes that involve an alcohol-impaired driver. That breaks down to one death every 50 minutes. Over the last few years, there have been conflicting bodies of research looking at the impact of the ride-hailing services on drunk driving rates and related crashes and deaths. Some studies, including one by Uber, of course, and Mothers Against Drunk Driving, try to show that ride-hailing is cutting down on DUIs and making the road safer for all of us. But others say there's not enough evidence to make such a claim. So KSDK looked into it, at least for what the impact was on St. Louis, and they talked to some people that have been affected by it. They talked to one woman who had family members lost because of DUIs and that kind of thing. And they say, as it turns out, many ride-sharing drivers might just be helping to cut down on the number of drunk drivers getting behind the wheel. In states like California and cities like Seattle, Uber specifically takes credit for reducing DUIs and DUI-related crashes. The company has also shown in places like Chicago and Miami that unsurprisingly calls for service go up. At about the same time, bars and restaurants that have alcohol close. So according to St. Louis police, here are the numbers available for reported DUIs in the city over the last 5 years. So year to date, they've had 106. Last year, it was 117. 2016, it was 148. And 2005, it was 183. 2015 was the year that Uber became mainstream in St. Louis. And 2017 is when Lyft arrived in the city and reported DUI incidents fell overall by more than 50%. I can't think of the exact, but just because those two things happened at the same time doesn't mean that one caused the other necessarily. They happen to happen at the same time. So you can decide for yourself whether one caused the other or not, but they happened at the same time.
I took two ride shares yesterday, as a matter of fact. And I didn't go out and get hammered. I mean, I went down to, I took a Lyft from Overland Park to downtown. I went to Monday Night Raw at Sprint Center yesterday, as a matter of fact. Can't believe I didn't see you at Monday Night Raw, Jamie. Did I just not see you? Is that what it was?
Yeah. I'm short. I hide in the back.
That's probably what it was. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't planning on going out and getting hammered. I can't, you know, like getting drunk really is not a thing I'm probably should do right now, having a pregnant wife. That being said, I had three beers while I was there. You know, I had a couple of beers while I was there, and those are some big old beers. And I knew that if I had one or two, I'd be fine to drive home. But if I didn't want to chance it, icy roads, I was going to be tired. I there's just no reason to even take the slimmest of chance in my mind. I feel like our generation and the one after us, hopefully, is the one that kills the DUI. And Uber and Lyft are just perfect examples of how it should happen. Like, you should never, ever drink and drive to this point. And it's great to see this number declining.
But it still requires planning. There are still people who don't want to mess around with having to go back and get their car the next day. So there are some people who, if they drove to where they were going,
right,
they don't want to Uber home because then they have to Uber back the next day and go get their car. So there are some people who just don't think about it ahead of time. And, you know, it's not free. You know, I mean, it's not like it's not always cheap. If you're coming in from, you know, 119th and Metcalf and you're going to Sprint Center, I don't know what's that ride, 15, 20 bucks, depending on the day. You know, and you're doing that both directions. That's not always, you know, sometimes you don't want to deal with that. Police have said that while ride hailing services like Uber have cut down on drunk driving incidents, they also say extra patrols and enforcement targeting impaired drivers have had an impact.
Good. And
that
it should.
It's not just Uber.
It should. Like, I still... And if you are going to go out and you're going to have some drinks, you're going to go to dinner, let's say you are at 119th and Metcalf, and you take and you drive downtown and you eat at a nice restaurant downtown and you have four glasses of wine, you should not be driving. That's a bottle of wine. You have consumed a bottle of wine. You should not be driving. If that is going to be your plan, then you should know better than to either have that third and fourth glass of wine and still be able to drive home or still plan on driving home. If that's going to be your plan, either don't have that or get yourself an Uber. You're the one that's responsible. And I can promise you, if it's an inconvenience to get your car, leave it at home, order that rideshare, and head out wherever you're going to go. If it's too expensive, I can promise you a DUI is going to be much more expensive than the $20 each way that an Uber or a Lyft is going to cost you. I don't care what the excuses are. They need to end of why you won't, why you think it's okay to go drink and drive. I mean, again, I didn't get smashed last night, but I knew I was going to be a little impaired. I didn't want to chance that out on the road for fear that I might end someone's life. I might get a DUI. I got a baby on the way. I can't handle any of that. I can't have that happen. I cannot keep someone from, you know, whatever their life will be because I needed an extra Miller Lite at Monday Night Raw. And the excuse of, oh, it's a, I don't plan well, it's an inconvenience. While you're right, Jamie, people have those. They're bad things to think about as opposed to, I'll just drive. Just get me to the freeway. I'll be good. Just two freeways. I'm fine.
We just need to make drinking and driving as uncool as we have made smoking. I mean, that's partially what we've talked about for why smoking rates have dropped is because we have made it. We look down on people that smoke. It's just become uncool to be a smoker. And it's just it needs to be that peer pressure about drinking and driving. And we're getting there. We're just not all the way there yet.
576-7798. 576-7798. You want to jump in? Do you think Uber and Lyft will eventually kill the DUI? 576-7798. Text in 22980. And I can't imagine the excuses of why, but if you got a good reason why it's okay for you to drink and drive, love to hear that as well. 576-7798. Text in 22980. We'll put this up on Facebook for you to check out. You can comment on social media as well. It's Midday with Jamie and Wicket. We'll get to you coming up next. Now, 576-7798. Story at a KSDK in St. Louis. Talking about DUIs versus, DUIs and the decline of driving under the influence now that Uber and Lyft have become so mainstream. So we're asking, why in the world wouldn't you take a Lyft?
Is there anybody that still doesn't, that, you know, that acknowledges that even when you've been tipsy and borderline, you still won't take Uber or Lyft? And what's the reason?
And what's it going to take to get people to stop drinking and driving? Do you think that is ever, like, is the limit right now the 0.08? Is that not low enough? Is the penalty for DUI not strict enough? 576-7798. Let's get to Kelly here on KMBZ. What's up, Kelly?
Hello. I was saying that I don't believe that the legal limit is fair. I think that we had Mothers Against Drunk Driving years ago get the legal limit dropped because people were dying. People were drinking and driving and killing people. And I disagree with drinking and driving. I think it's wrong. However, the legal limit is too low. The people that are getting into those accidents were not 0.08 or 0.10. They were like three times or two times the legal limit. So to me, it's not really fair to those that want to go have a couple of drinks and drive home, and then they get slammed with a DUI because they're over 0.08, which is not intoxicated. You're not too drunk to drive home. I just think I disagree with it.
So wait.
Kelly, can we ask, and I'm going to bet Wicket's thinking the same thing. Have you ever done, because I haven't, have you ever done one of the breathalyzer tests where it measures, you know, how drunk you think you are and what you measure on a breathalyzer to see if it matches how you think you feel? Because I'll be perfectly honest with you. I just kind of know how I feel. I kind of know that I can do one drink an hour, and beyond that, I can't drive. But I have no clue where that shows up on a blood alcohol content level. Do you?
Well, I know that it's been about maybe 12 years ago. I actually got... and I did a diversion, so I didn't get stuck with the DUI, well, all that. But I thought I was legal enough to drive. I drove three people home that were wasted, and I was a block away from my home, and an officer pulled me over because they saw me leaving the bar downtown, and it's a small town, so they knew me. And they did arrest me, and I'm like, I am totally fine. So when I took the breathalyzer, it was a 0.10. So I was over legal limit, but I was perfectly fine to drive. So, I mean, based on that, that changed my view on things, because I totally used to be against all of that. Like, I was like one of those persons, like, you shouldn't drink and drive. But I was fine to drive.
Kelly, how do you know you were fine?
Well,
how
I drove three other people home all across town and was just right around the corner from my house.
That doesn't mean you were fine.
It means you got lucky.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't mean you were fine.
It means that I was able to operate my vehicle just fine and make it home.
That time.
I mean.
Kelly, let me ask you this.
Okay,
Let me ask you a question, okay, Kelly. What makes your blood flow so much different than mine that we have determined that if I get to 0.10, that I am not able to drive, but you are?
I don't know. But look at the statistics. The statistics show you that the people that are killing others in accidents, their blood level is not 0.08 or 0.10. Look it up. It's like three times the legal limit.
So, Kelly, you think we need to raise the drunk driving blood alcohol content level to
0.10? 0.10 is fair enough. I do.
So you think it's okay if Jamie has two drinks, and two drinks affect her different than it affects me or you? You think it's fine if Jamie has two drinks because she feels fine to get behind the wheel?
Here's what I'm going to give you, okay, Kelly. Here's what I'll.
If you had two drinks, that you would kill somebody and drive wrong on the road.
You think killing someone's the only measure of what the blood alcohol limit should be?
I mean, get real. It's not like that. You 0.10. You're not going to drive down the wrong lane and kill somebody.
No, Kelly, but what you might do is roll. What you might do is roll through a stop sign. Or not, you know, maybe look down when you shouldn't, because we all get affected by alcohol that way. Look down when you shouldn't as a light turns red and you keep going through it. Kelly, this is a terrible attitude you have.
Does anybody agree with her, though?
Maybe, I'm sorry. This is an outlier's attitude you have. You're right. That's a good question.
Does anybody agree with her, though? Maybe she's not alone.
Maybe not.
For every call we get like that, sometimes you represent people that won't call and give the unpopular opinion. Has anybody gotten a DUI that they felt like they didn't deserve? Anybody get a DUI and hit, you know, above the legal limit when you genuinely felt like you were fine to drive?
Kelly, how old are you?
I am 40.
You are 40. Okay. 40-year-old Kelly thinks that we need to raise the blood alcohol content level, and because more people are fine that get the 0.09 or 0.10 DUIs. Does anybody agree with Kelly? 576-7798.
Sorry. The point that I was going to consider giving her was one drink is going to hit me faster than it's going to hit somebody twice my size.
Sure.
So I can, you know, drink less and not be able to drive home. But that's why it's a percentage of your blood alcohol content, because theoretically that's going to work out the same. You know, it's going to take you two drinks to get a 0.08, and it's going to take me one drink.
Yeah.
That stinks. But that's how it goes.
And again, it's not the, I'm at 0.08, I'm driving down the wrong way on I-70. It's the, I'm driving on Shawnee Mission, I'm between the lines, I'm going 45. I look down for what I think is half a second, maybe it's for an extra second, maybe something distracts me, maybe it's my friend who's wasted in the car next to me, and I get distracted for an extra half second. And I may not drive down I-70 the wrong way, but you know what I do? I accidentally blow through Metcalf, and guess what? I all of a sudden get pulled over. I all of a sudden run into somebody. You know, whatever the case may be, I don't stop. If someone who has stopped, like, she takes it to an extreme.
All right. Several of you are texting in and claiming to agree with her. I would encourage you to call 576-7798. Call me and give me the story why.
Kelly wants to raise the blood alcohol limit from 0.08 to 0.1 or more.
Anybody think it should go down?
I think it should go down.
Anybody think it should go to 0.05 or less?
I would love to see it at 0.02.
A lot of states are going to 0.05.
I would love to see it at 0.05. And it, we just lose too many people. And I would hate for Kelly, and I know we got to get to Mark, I would hate for Kelly to have anyone at all run into a member of her family at 0.08.